Okay, let's. We are on page 530. We are in the middle of the Maori Chazal. We're up to Pasuk. Yutes. Pasuk Yutes. Yoshuv Yirachamenu Yichbosh Avoynoseinu. Mr. Cohen, do we have here an art scroll Machzor Rosh Hashanah? A Machzor Rosh Hashanah Machzor. If not, don't look hard. If you don't have, it's fine. Okay, Pasuk Yitas Yoshuv Yachalena Yichbosh Avoynoseinu Tanya Beishamay Emim Sholosh Kitos Hein Liyoyim Hadin. There are three groups on the Yoyim Hadin. Achashel Tzadikim Gimurin. V'achashel Rishoim Gimurim. V'achashel Beinoy Niyim. Look how he puts the dots in that word. Beinoy Niyim. Beinoy Niyim Yodim Legehenim Umitzavtzefim, which means they bubble. What do you mean they bubble? So akim ubaychem mitoch yisurim zman muat v'oilin. So this is a very frightening Maimar Chazal. Where this everything you've learned as a child has been wrong. You've been fooled once again. We always assume that a beinoni. Thank you very much. A beinoni remains suspended in midair. It's suspended. The tzaddik goes to Gan Eden. The rasha goes to Gehenim. The beinoni. Oh. So there, he's under scrutiny, and there's deliberations, and there's this. At the end of the day, is Hashem. What?
Limbo.
It's limbo. At the end of the day, Hashem will have Rachmanis, and Hashem will bring you to Gan Eden, and he will never see Gehenim. That's not what this Maimar Chazal says. Here it says that the Beinoni goes straight to Gehenim. The Tzaddik goes to Gan Eden. The Rasha, of course, goes to Gehenim. But the Beinoni goes to Gehenim. And you should know the truth is the Rasha does not go to Gehenim. The Rasha is not allowed entrance into Gehenim because Gehenim is too good for the Rasha. Gehenim is clear in Chazal, it is a facility of correction. You're only there, it's a rehabilitation center. No one remains in Gehenim more than a certain amount of time. Gehenim is not a place where you, long term, there's no long term apartments in Gehenim.
What about the three exceptions?
What do you mean three? What do you mean three exceptions?
What are the
three exceptions?
Titos,
and Yeshu. So they're not in Gehenim. Those people, Titos, every single day, he had to go collect his ashes.
Every month,
whatever it was, and I do not remember the details. Collect his ashes from all over, and be reconstructed, and then be burnt again, and dispersed.
Like I think it's implied that it's.
Does it say the word Gehenim there? Or that is something that's done before you go to Gehenim. In other words, if you read all these spooky stories, these Dybbuk books, I was a child, I used to read these Dybbuk books, these books about the Dybbuk. Now, are these stories true or not? I have no idea. But the way the story always goes is that there's a neshama that's floating around this world, and it enters into the body of a person. These are science fiction books, but this the assertion is true. At least they're floating around this world, and they enter into the body of a person, and the reason why they have permission to enter into the body of a specific person is because that person did an avera that is similar to what the dibuk, what this neshama has done in his lifetime. So therefore, a neshama can't just enter into anyone's body. It only can enter into a body that allows access. Which body allows access? Another body, another person that did a similar avera. Okay, so now why would the dibuk, this neshama, want to go into someone's body, according to these science fiction books? Because when the neshama is outside of a body, it's being harassed by demons, by malachim. There's a neshama floating around, and it's being tormented. It's being insulted. I don't know what it means, but it's being stabbed, it's being bullied, and there's no one, and this it's being tortured. This torture is not Gehenim. This torture is in this world. You can't see it. It's a ghost. It's flying around. Again, this is all science fiction, but the Yisod is true. This neshama is flying around, and it's under enormous attack. What does this neshama, where does this neshama really want to go to be free from this torture, this torment and abuse and harassment? It wants to go to Gehenim. It's knocking on the doors of Gehenim. Because Gehenim is basically a hospital. Today, the hospital, you don't go to a hospital to die. You go to a hospital today for repair. It's a repair shop. That's all the hospitals today in America are repair shops. It used to be in the olden days, the hospital was a hospice. Because what could they do for you already in a hospital? They can't do anything for anyone in a hospital. What could they do? They didn't have technology. Very few things could be healed. So people went to a hospital to die. And people died in the hospital. Today, that's not the way it works. No one dies in a hospital today. If you die in a hospital today, you lose your funding. The government is not going to fund you. You're going to lose funding. Someone's about to die. They get him out of there so fast because on the statistics, it shows that someone died in the hospital. They're in a lot of trouble. They're in a lot of trouble. The funding, the insurance companies and the government. It is the biggest horror for an administrator in the health industry to have on his record someone died in the hospital. Okay, there are exceptions. Obviously, you know, a lot of people are in the hospital still today. But I'm saying extreme things to bring out the point. So what's the hospital for? We're going to do treatment. We're going to do surgery. We're going to do some type of treatment. And we're going to do the treatment. And hopefully it will work and you'll be healed. If it doesn't work, we tried. We tried. We've done what we're supposed to do for you. And now leave. Go somewhere else. Go home. Go, if a person, Rachmana Litzlan, is very sick and he's going to die, so we're going to set you up in a hospice. Or we'll make your home into a hospice. But not here. Hospital is not a place to die. Hospital is a place to attempt to the best that we can to repair what is broken in your body. That's exactly what Gehenna is. It's a place where neshamas come, and there are a team of doctors in Gehenna that analyze the neshama, and they treat it, and it's not pleasant. People in the hospital are screaming their head off. The treatments and the surgery are very, very painful. That's what's done in Gehenna. It's a repair shop to fix the neshama. And when the neshama is repaired, then they send it off to Gan Eden. Now you go, you know, the Gan Eden is very big. There's, you know, you go to kindergarten Gan Eden, you can go to first grade Gan Eden, you can go to high school Gan Eden, and if you're really good, they'll send you to a college program in Gan Eden, or you get a postdoctorate in Gan Eden. But Gehenna is a place where people come for a short period of time to be repaired. In the hospital, I think that there's even an average in the industry of what is the average number of days a person stays in the hospital. And the goal is to make that number smaller and smaller. Right. And if the number gets too high, the administrator, all the alarms go off. Why in the world is this guy here for 12 days? This cannot. No, really, I'm not joking. I know. With my parents, I know that there was that one of my parents was in the hospital longer than they were supposed to be. And okay, so one day they started checking, and then it got to a point where literally the CEO of the hospital, the top person of the hospital, himself came down into the room. What is going on? Why is this patient still here? You are ruining our statistics.
Right.
Okay, and you know, due to complications, what's going on? So this is really what Gehenna is. It is a place of repair. Now, in order to get into Gehenna, you got to have the right insurance. Okay, they don't take everyone into every, and go to a hospital. Somehow they're very exclusive. You have to have the right insurance. We only take this insurance. If we don't take this insurance, sorry, we can't help you. There are other hospitals. In this hospital, for whatever the reasons are, we only take these. You have 20 insurance, whatever they are. I once saw my own eyes. I was there with someone and he was a patient. And they basically told him, we can't help you. We're sorry. We don't take your insurance. We're not cruel.
Unless you're an illegal alien, then they can't turn you away.
No, if you're illegal, whatever, then they're on a government. I don't know, right? Whatever it is. Whatever. They took politics over here. Whatever, right? Whatever it is. But they said that we're not cruel here. I said, we're not trying to tell you to go and die. I'm not telling you that. There are another 20 hospitals. Go across the street. Go there. There are another 20. In this, there's nothing that we can do for you because over here we don't take your insurance and we have to pay the bills, and that's what it is. We're not killing you. I'll give you a list of another 10 hospitals. Some of them are better. They have better doctors, better facilities, better equipment. You'll go there. They take your insurance and they'll heal you. They'll cure you. They'll treat you. You'll be fine. You'll be okay. So to get into Gehenna, you have to have the right credentials. What are the credentials? Whatever they may be. Sometimes a neshama does not have those credentials because the neshama is so bad. The neshama is so evil. We're not here. We can't help you. We can help you over here. So what does this neshama do in the meantime? It wanders all over the world. It wanders and wanders and wanders. While it wanders all over the world waiting on a waiting list to get in somewhere, or until Hashem has rachmanis on this neshama to allow it entry into Gehenim for repair, it's tormented and harassed by what's called malachei chavala, angels of destruction, which abuse it, and it causes the neshama enormous pain. But that pain is of no benefit. When a person is sick and he's in pain, so there are two types of pain. There's a pain that's part of the healing process, and then there's just pain. A person is in pain. So what do I get out of this pain? Nothing. If a person had surgery, and he's in pain because of the surgery, okay. So the pain of the surgery is part of the process of being healed. But before the person has surgery, and he comes to the doctor, and he says, my foot hurts, the pain of the foot hurting is of no benefit. It's just pure pain. So the neshamas that are abused and tormented and harassed by the malachi chavala outside of Gehenim serve no purpose. No, there's no benefit. There's no benefit in that pain.
The extreme rusher doesn't go to Gehenim.
Exactly.
Just hangs around.
He hangs out. There's no place for him to go. Exactly. That's what I was talking about. Titois and Nebuchadnezzar and Haman and all this collection of Rishon, Arurim, Yimach Shemam, V'Zichram, they do not go to Gehenim. Gehenim is too good for them. Gehenim is the only people who have insurance. Privileged characters go to Gehenim. Their insurance was revoked. So then no one's taking them in. So what happens? They just float around in who knows where. And in the meantime, while they're floating around, they are attacked brutally by the malachei chavala, which are the product of their crimes. Every time a person commits a crime, he creates, I'm telling you all this science fiction type of things, but this they teach us in kindergarten in order to open up our minds to get at least a taste of what Chazal tell us goes on in the other world, that the neshama, when it does an avera, it creates a malach of destruction, a force of evil in this world, which haunts the neshama forever until he is cleansed from his transgression. Where is the place he is cleansed from his transgression? In Gehenna. Now, that's why. Now, here's another yisayit, which this yisayit really is really impossible to understand. And whatever we've said so far, if you really think very deeply about it, it makes sense, and it doesn't bother us to hear such things because There's no contradiction. There's no difficulty in understanding the principles that we learned so far. But what's very complicated, I never understood, is something very simple. Let's say I have a neshama that is a privileged character. It entered Gehenna. It's a good thing to go to Gehenna, because if a neshama is in Gehenna, it means it's going to be cleansed. And it's only going to be there for 12 months at most. That's the maximum sentence. The max sentence, a neshama needs the worst neshama. If they take a person into Gehenna, it means he is repairable within 12 months. That's what it means. If the people in Gehenna analyze the situation and they discover that the neshama cannot be repaired within 12 months, you ain't going here. You're not coming to us. We have to have success. Some neshamas, what we learn, don't need 12 months. They can get the job done in 6 months, in 3 months. Some neshamas don't even need to be there as a resident. Just a visit alone is enough. Okay, just to walk down the hallway of Gehenna is enough of a repair for that neshama. Okay, like if, you know, if they would give every
so
American
good.
Citizen.
I don't know why we tell some people to go there, but okay.
No, it's not. It's a lot of things that we say are not true. Going to Gehenna is for privileged neshamas.
So that explains the three that don't, because the chayter machter.
They don't deserve Gehenna.
And chayter machter, you can't even be rehabilitated.
So they don't go to Gehenna. The outside, where are they? Who knows where they are? And they're being tormented. They're suffering. Gehenna is a good place. It's not a joke. It's a good place. It means a person goes there. It means the next step is they fix them up. They fix them up as good as he can be fixed. And then afterwards, he's released. He goes straight to Gan Eden. Where in Gan Eden? Everyone will be different. Doesn't mean just because you go to Gehenna, you're fixed up in Gehenna, it means you get the front row seat. Doesn't mean that. It means we repair you the best that your neshama can be repaired, and now in the Olam HaEmes, in Gan Eden, you will be in your place, the place that is miyuchad for you. But to get there, it's not so easy to be zoiche, to get entrance. The entrance bechena to Gehenim is not so easy. It's a very hard entrance bechena to Gehenim, yeah.
I remember what they mentioned, you said there are 8 different levels. But you don't stay in one place.
Right, Gehenna is a program.
So
it's a workout. It's a rehab center. You have to go do. You have to have this doctor with your arms, with your legs. This exercise, that exercise. It's an intense rehabilitation center. Now here's the thing which I don't understand, and that is Chazal say. So you go one, they take you in. You got pull. Okay, you have good pull. A Rosh Yeshiva, someone called up. You're a gevir. Someone called up and told the Rosh Yeshiva of Gehenna. You told the Rosh Yeshiva Gehenna, taking this bachar. He's a good guy. Fix him up. Polish him up. So he gets in. They look at him. Boy, you really need to work. You need a job. You're a piece of work. You're going to be here for 12 months. Then, okay, so what's the routine? Well, we operate here 6 days a week. On Shabbos, we're closed. So Shabbos, you can go to the lounge and you can learn Daf Yomi. Shabbos, there's no rehabilitation on Shabbos. Shabbos is a day off from rehabilitation. So it's Friday, and all of a sudden he sees that people like him, or maybe he himself, listen, Shabbos is 6 o'clock? No. It's already 3 o'clock? All right, class dismissed. Okay, rehabilitation is closed for Shabbos, get out of here. I'll see you back on Sunday morning. I'll see you back Mitzvah Shabbos. Report back Mitzvah Shabbos. A 3-hour bonus. I don't have to be there. I'm leaving in 12 months, no matter what. Because Gehenna only is, they only allow you there. The insurance only pays for 12 months. So they're kicking you out after 12 months. And they're not letting you into Gan Eden unless you're repaired. Okay, you come to Gan Eden, you gotta be repaired. And how long do you need to be repaired? You need 12 months. You really need 12 months of rehabilitation to be repaired. So this is what I don't understand. How could it be that they say to you, listen, when you were alive in this world, you were a good guy. And Erev Shabbos, you stopped work, you left work 3 hours early to get ready for Shabbos. You were Mayrich in Shabbos. Mitzoy Shabbos, you didn't go to the early minyan, where they daven 40 minutes after Shkia. You went to the 72 minyan. So you, because in your lifetime, went to the later minyan, you went to the 72-minute minyan, so Gehenna for you will begin Mitzvah Shabbos at 72 minutes after Shkia, not 50 minutes after Shkia, not 40 minutes after Shkia. You'll have a longer Shabbos. You have a longer Shabbos. So the question is, what do you mean? So he gets away with it. His chaverim, they had to be in Gehenna at 5:30. He had to report back to Gehenna at 6 o'clock. Why? Because in this world, he was marich in Shabbos. So midah, keneged midah, in Gehenim, your Shabbos will also be longer. But if the person needs the tikkun, the exercise, to get his body into shape, so how could they let him out early, and how could they start late? If Gehenim is the repair shop, either they do the repairs, or they don't do the repairs. How could it be that in this world we find many different inyanim? Chazal say, do this. Because if you do this, it will cool down for you the fires of Gehenna. You're going to Gehenna, no question about it. Question is, when they turn up the oven, do they put it on broil? or do they put it on 400 on bed? That's the only question. So do this, and we won't turn on to broil. We'll put it on bake. But what do you mean? If the neshama needs broil, and that's why you're there, how does it work that for you we'll put it on bake? It's either it works or it doesn't work. So I don't have an answer. So you're going to say that it's a miracle? Hashem does Hashem cleanse the neshama miraculously? That goes against every principle that we have in Yadus. You earn your keep. The neshama is in Gehenim. It needs to be cleansed and refined. If you don't turn on the oven, if you don't turn on the heat, it's not going to be cleansed. So what does it mean then that if you have a bris milah, Avraham Avinu is going to help you out. He's going to turn down the heat. If you do this, Shabbos, you'll come late. How does all of that work? That part of the story, I really do not know. I tell you the joke. I always say this joke. My brother Shverut said to me, like, is everyone today is running to Lakewood. Lakewood is just like Gehenna. Eventually, everyone ends up there. You like that line?
Yeah, but really, Gan Eden is running away.
Or what?
He's coming with lavish for Shabbos.
Kesef, even in Gehenna, they need money. I know the joke. There was the wall between Gehenim and Gan Eden was breached, and there was a leak of hot air coming out of Gehenim, leaking into Gan Eden. So the people in Gan Eden were very upset. It's hot. Gehenim, they were very happy. It gets cool, a little cooler. So there was a machlokes. Who should fix the breach? Should the people in Gehenim pay for it? Or should the people of Gan Eden pay to fix the breach? So they went to a Din Torah. So they went to the Din Torah and the Bez in Shalmaila. And the Bez in Shalmaila paskind that the people of Gan Eden, they have to pay their hard-earned money to fix the breach. Baskol went out, so someone went and Chaloim, Nuvos Tutsuch and Gehen, they told the Gan Samaisa. They came down here to the earth and they sent Shul by Mil Chazar Sashatz. They were talking and Nu was Tutsuch in Shemayim. Bala Chaloim comes to Shul and he tells them what's going on in Shemayim, and he says there was a whole big Din Torah, a celebrated Din Torah. It was even more celebrated in the impeachment process. And they were fighting there, and Shemayim should fix the breach. And the Bez in Shalmaila last night handed down the decision, the people of Gan Eden have to pay to fix the breach. And they're all sitting in Shul in this world listening. And the guy there, one of the listeners says, yeah, it's not a surprise to me. In Gehenim, they have all the good lawyers.
If they made it.
Are there any lawyers in the room? I guess not, huh? They're not in the morning call of the lawyers. What?
They never retire. That's the problem.
Okay, so this is our Yisoid of now. So what do we learn from this Maamar Chazal? Now, with that whole long introduction, a long-winded introduction, this Maamar Chazal takes on now an entirely new meaning. When we're children, they tell us they're Gimel Sefarim Niftachim. They're the Tzadikim Geburim, the Rishoyim Geburim, and the Beinoinim. And we're brainwashed to believe that the Tzadikim Geburim go straight to Gan Eden. Straight. Okay, you go to the airport. You don't have to go online with everyone else. There's a special, business class. You go behind the counter there. A special line for people who go business class. They come, they pamper you. The Tzadikim Gemurim do not get online with everyone else. The Rishoyim Gemurim, when you come to the security, they ask you, that before you even get online, they look at you, and they right away take you away in the paddy wagon. They don't even let you get on the line to go on the airplane. They right away see you're a criminal. You're a criminal, they take you away. Then the other Beinonim, they get online, right? They get online, but they're not going to jail. They're not going to Gehenim. That's, and they deliberate with them. They have a conversation, and the end of the day is they let them board the plane. That's what we're taught in kindergarten. Along comes this Maamar Chazal and says, no, that's not the pshat. Hashem loves the Beinonim so much, as soon as you come to the airport, they take you straight to Gehenim. That's what it says. Now, we would appreciate that now. Because if you're a Beinoni, you got a problem. You're not at Tzadik Gomor. The question for a Beinoni is, do we even allow you to go to Gehenim? Okay, we think of Gehenna as a bad thing. It's a good thing, Gehenna. Because if a person goes to Gehenna, it means that's the end of the process. That means he will be cleansed and he will go to Gan Eden. Many neshamos don't go to Gehenna. They're not even allowed into the correction facility. So when the Beinoni comes, if he's a Rosh Gomor, wait outside. Go wait outside in the Bronx, in Harlem, back in the 60s, when there's no police, there's no nothing. You're a Jew, you wait outside there, you know what's going to happen outside. And there's no one going to come to protect you, to help you. It's not pleasant. When the Beinoni comes, they say, go to jail. Oh, that's good. Because going to jail, at least, no one's going to beat you up. At least it's not going to be fun in there. It's going to be uchi in there. But it's to a degree, you're protected from the thugs on the streets, to a degree. So it's a chesed of Hashem to take the Beinoni immediately into Gehenna. Now they start the rehabilitation, and it's not pleasant, it's painful. And then Hashem says, enough, send the guy right to send him already to Gan Eden. Enough rehabilitation. He doesn't need to be rehabilitated for 12 months, enough. But the chesed is that he is immediately admitted into this correction facility. These are very bizarre words we're using, right? But that's what it says over here. Look, Pasuk Yutes in the Maamar Chazal. Tanya Beshamim Beshamim says, Sholosh Kiddush Heilehim Limadin. Achashel Tzadik Gemurim. V'yachashel Rosham Gemurim. V'yachashel Beinoniyim. And what does he say? I think it's too high?
It's too high.
You can make it lower. Better just lower the volume. The big knob on the top, on the mixer, is a big, big knob. Let me just make it a little bit lower. That's the best knob. So one is Yodim L'Gehenim U'mitzav Sefim. And they are, what is it, mitzafsefim, tsoyakim? They chirp. It means like they chirp. Uboichim, and they cry. Mitoch yisurim zman mu'ot. Not 12 months. The oilin, and they ascend. That's the chesed. To go to Gehenim for a short period of time. Beis Hillel oimrim. Beis Hillel says, that's who says that? That's Beis Sham. Beis Sham, we always know that Beis Sham, Shamuti. Shamuti means they are very tough people, very, very harsh, Midas Hadin, very demanding, exacting, no nonsense. Beis Sham had no nonsense people. Beis Hillel Oymim V'Rav Chesed, no, Mate, Es Hechra, Kaf Amoznayim, Klapi Chesed, Litzad Zchus, Ve'ein Yordim L'Gehinom. This is what they taught us in kindergarten. The Shita of Beis Hillel, that they don't even have to go to Gehenim at all. They're immediately, the chesed is so great, they bypass, they go straight to Gan Eden. Hechi Ovid, Chesed Machria. Okay, that's one Yisoid. Now we come to a new Yisoid. We already learned this portion. The two different translations of the word Yichboish. Does yichboish mean to take hold, or does yichboish mean to suppress? We have scales. Okay, it's not for nothing they have an image of scales. On one side are the averos, and one side are the mitzvos, and they're equal. So, if we want the mitzvos to be heavier, when the mitzvos are heavier, then the person goes to Gan Eden. How can you, if you want to manipulate the scale, where they're exactly equal, there are two ways to manipulate the scale. You could either push this down, or you can pull this up. So if you pull, and what's the word we're going to use to manipulate the scale? Yichboish. So translate that word. If yichboish means to push, to suppress, it means Hashem is putting his hands on the zuchuyos, pushing the zechuyos down. If yichboish means to take hold of, it means he's holding on to the averos and pulling them up. Now, there's an incredible hashkafic principle being expressed here. When you go, when a person, Rachmana Litzlan, is on trial in a court, let's say United States, so if, you know, there are two parts. Generally, in the United States, the mashal, two parts to the process. There is, did he commit the crime? Yes or no? Did he commit the crime? Even not a grand jury, even a jury, a regular jury. A grand jury is just to go to trial, right? A grand jury is just, no, he's already in trial. He's already in trial. He's being accused of murder, or he's being accused of Geneva, whatever he's being accused. Did he commit the crime? And they deliver, there's a jury, there's a whole ganze maisa, what it is. And then finally, the jury walks in, the foreman says, guilty. He committed the crime. Okay, phase two. What are we going to do now? Are we going to lock him up? Are we going to lock him up for 20 years? Are we going to lock him up for 5 years? Are we going to give him a home, a house arrest? And if we do lock him up, where are we going to send him? To a country club? Or we're going to send him to a supermax? Okay, a supermax prison. Where are we going? Where are we going to put the person? That's phase two. And generally, who decides that? As far as I know, there's no jury for that. That is only the decision of the judge. Okay, that's the way in America it works. The judge is the only one. It's an amazing concept. There's no such thing as having a jury of your peers. Why isn't there such a thing? I'm not American law over here. I know nothing about American law. But why is there no jury?
Well, they do have the jury decide
the punishment. Okay. I'm not familiar with that. I only was aware that the jury of your peers, a jury of your peers decides if you're guilty or innocent, and then the judge has discretion to decide what the punishment is, and that can vary. You go from nothing to putting a guy away for life. It's the amount of power.
Explicitly stated on the book. Mandatory.
Unless it's explicit. So, I mean, the power of a judge in America is enormous. It's just not to be believed. Because in tzaddik ba'aretz asher yastov lo yecheta, guilty, everyone will be guilty. But the punishment, it's mamash, chayim v'hamaves. It's in the hands of a judge to decide it's unbelievable how much power. I don't think that America, everything is, you know, it's a different type of country. It's not true. America, a judge has power that's not to be believed. The whole Rabashkin story is all because of one person. One person, the Paskin is guilty. Okay, he's guilty. That wasn't the Chiddush that he was guilty. Everyone, even the biggest critics acknowledged that Rabashkin, whatever, guilty. The only question was, whatever. But the whole fiasco was, giving 25 years? 27 years? That's interesting. I mean, you have murderers on the street. Whether you're a fan of Rabashkin or not a fan of Rabashkin is irrelevant, but you're guilty. 27 years for this? I mean, it's serious stuff. It's a lot, and no one can do anything. Zehu, that's the way it is. You need the President of the United States to overturn such a decision? Pile ploim. What are the chances a President of the United States would overturn such a decision? One in a million. It's not to be believed, such a story like this. Any event, but look at the power of a judge. How powerful a judge is. So the question over here is: there are two phases in the trial, guilty or not. In the phase of the guilty, what do the lawyers try to do? What do they try to do? And there's a dilemma: is he guilty or not? The scales are in the middle. The lawyer says that they grab the averois, and they pick it up. And they say he didn't do an avera, he's innocent. He did not. He's not the murderer. He didn't steal. It's legal. You know, this is the way the people do business. There's nothing wrong. There's nothing. No violation of the law. The lawyers in the first phase of the process of law is the yichboish, the avoy noseinu. They take the sins. They hold on to the sins and they pick it up, and they say there is no sin. The guy didn't do anything. Let's say that part of the process doesn't work and the jury says guilty. Now it's the judge. Phase two. We beg the judge, people send in character references, yes. People they send letters, letters, and people come, they testify. The guy is such a good guy. He did so much for the community. He made a mistake. The most important thing by far in America is this is an amazing thing about America that's unique to America, is to say you're sorry. If you say you're sorry,
remorse.
You show this is the most, this is the Aleph phase of America. You could commit the worst crimes in America. When they get to phase B and it's time for the punishment, if the person does not say to the judge, Chotosi, Avisi, Pashati, I'm sorry, you're in a lot of trouble. You're really asking for it. Okay, I'm not going to elaborate. A lot of things on my mind I want to say now, I keep my mouth shut. But you have to say, so what do you do when you're saying you're sorry? I'm guilty. The sin is not going up. That's done. The goal now is to show the judge to take his zuchuyos, his good deeds, and push them down. To give them more weight. That's right. He's guilty. We've already finished that part of the discussion. We try to take the averos and grab onto it, pick it up, and throw it in the garbage. We try, and if you'll pick it up, throw it to the garbage, the scale goes all the way down. Guess what? We lost. The averos ain't going nowhere. That's another dimension. But the scale is a very complicated thing. You're right, because what do you mean? Just because you get a little more, you get a more mitzvahs, automatically that means you go to Gan Eden? What about all the averos? Exactly. So this image on all of the Sifrei Torah and the Urin HaKodesh of scales doesn't make any sense. So what does it mean then? It means this. There's no question that a person is going to be rewarded for his good deeds and be punished for his averos. But there's another principle in the Yadlus of where do you stand in the big picture of things? Are you a good person or are you a bad person? Ein tzaddik ba'aretz asher yaseh toiv v'lo yecheta. But he's a tzaddik. He's called a tzaddik. And then there are people who are rishoyim gemurim, who did good deeds. The biggest rishoyim, Nevuchadnezzar, he supported the poor. He gave tzedakah. He had programs for the poor. Who told him to do this? Daniel told him. So the Nevuchadnezzar, we learned this here. And this shit, Nevuchadnezzar, he had a dream. He had a dream that he's going to be that he's finished, he's toast. And he told this to Daniel, and Daniel said to him, what should I do? Daniel said, give tzedakah. If you'll give tzedakah, you'll go and you'll lobby in your own government that there should be a welfare program for poor people, for the homeless. Open up a homeless shelter and everything will be good for you. And he did it. And Hashem spared him. Hashem delayed his punishment. But Nebuchadnezzar is not a Rasha. Nebuchadnezzar is the biggest Rasha that ever was. Okay, the biggest Rasha that ever was. But he has a good deed. He did. The Pasuk says he did a good deed. So what do you, and it's Beferish, Mamari Chazal. So what are you going to say? For the good deeds, you'll be rewarded, and for the bad, you'll be punished. But overall, in which book do we put Nebuchadnezzar? A Russia. Tzadikim, which book are they? Tzadikim. Oh, but ain tzadik ba'aretz asher yaseh toiv v'lo yecheta. There's always going to be a sin somewhere. That's right. For this sin, you'll pay the price. But what are you called? You're called a tzadik. We always talk about Gedolei Yisrael. Gedolei Yisrael, in life we make two mistakes. They brainwash us in kindergarten, the Gedolei Yisrael, they show you all these nice biographies of Gedolei Yisrael. The Malachei Elokim. They don't make mistakes. They are perfection at its best. Okay? And then what happens? You get older and you realize they're far from perfect. The people on the cover of the books in all of the Judaica stores with these beautiful pictures, they're far, far, far from being perfect. They've made in their lives major mistakes. So what's the second mistake we make in life? So we're fool, we made a mistake. We thought they were brainwashed in kindergarten. They're perfect. Perfect. And then we get older, oh, we made a mistake. They're not perfect. Now comes mistake number two. If they made a mistake, a real mistake, we're not talking about a small mistake, that means they're not gedolim. Take them out of the Judaica store, take that picture, they're selling a picture of this gadol, you see it's on the wall, there's a picture of a gadol, take it down and burn it. Because if he made this mistake, he's not a great person. That's the second mistake. Just because he made a very big mistake, a groisa mistake, but there's a reason why his picture is on the wall and he's being sold in the bookstore. It's because he really is a great person. And great people make mistakes.
But maybe the tzaddik goes to Gehenna for a week.
Right, so the madrigas. So this is very important, you say, to appreciate. Rosh Hashanah, we have the image of scales. What does that mean? It doesn't make a bit of sense. Because just because the scales are a little bit more, a mashahu, like the Olympics, you won by a hundredth of a second. Okay, you won the race. But so what? Look at all the averos stacked. So what's the gedul of tipping the scales a little mashu? What about all the averos? That's not the point. You bet. For those averos, there's going to be a price to pay. A very heavy, steep price. No, nothing to talk about. There's another principle that we're dealing with on Rosh Hashanah. What is your label? Are you the cops or the robbers? Okay? Are you Superman or Lex Luthor? Are you Batman or the Joker? What are you? Where do you stand? Is that his nemesis, the Joker?
Yeah.
That's the one? Yeah, I forgot my Batman. Got to brush up my Batman.
That was his
nemesis. Where do you stand? That's what the scales are about. It's not about consequence of sin. It's about, on the Yom HaDin, who are you? Am I a tzaddik or am I a rasha? Even if you're a tzaddik, you got problems. In tzaddik ba'aretz asher yaseh tov v'lo yecheta. Now, to get to that matzav, to define, are you a tzaddik or a rasha, there are two ways so we can deal with the situation. We can either say your averos are not so bad. Even though this guy seems to have been mechalel Shabbos, you have to understand where he's coming from, what happened, why, this, that, the whole picture. There's another technique. What's the other technique? He's mechalel Shabbos. But he's still a tzaddik because look at his good deeds. Look how he davens. Look how he learns. Look how he, mechalel Shabbos, the series is mad, it's not maybe a good example to say mechalel Shabbos, but a person did an avera, he did a terrible avera. But look at the good things that he does. The way, the kavana, the intensity of the thing, the good things that he does is so much greater, so much deeper than his crimes. So he's a tzaddik. So you can either take the good things and give it weight, or you can say the averos, they were due to circumstance. That's why he did the averos. The averos are not so serious. That all depends on how you touch the word yichbosh. Does yichbosh mean you take hold, you take on, you're raising up, or is yichbosh means to press down? Is when the Ribbono Shel Olam on the Yimei HaDin, and we apply this pasuk, we're coming before him. We're not coming before him to count, to go and count our mitzvot, to go and to count the mitzvot and the averos. The din of Rosh Hashanah is to put a label upon a person. Are you a tzaddik? Or are you a Rasha? After we know your label, then we'll deal with all of the baggage that comes along with whatever else you got in your box, in your bag. But we have to give you a label. To give you a label, we can do one of two things. We can either analyze your averos and say, I understand, it's not so terrible. Or, no, your averos are pretty bad, but you're still an amazing person. Look what you've done. The depth of your chesed, of your goodness, is so profound. You're a tzaddik, despite the fact that you have serious crimes.
This law from Hashem, we have no right judging people. And
right.
We don't know what they really did. Yeah.
Hashem, exactly. So Hashem looks into these things, exactly. This is what it means over here. We go with the Hechiyovit. Ketzad Machriya. Rabbi Eliezer Oimer, Koy V'shoy. What does that mean, Koy V'shoy? Machbid al kaf hazichus shel hamoiznayim, to emphasize, to understand that the good deeds are very heavy, They weigh a lot. There's a depth in those good deeds. Shenemar, this Yoshev Yirachameinu, Yichboish Avoinu Seinu, he takes the word Yichboish to mean to press. What are you pressing? Yichboish means to push down. Push down the good deeds. Give them more weight. Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Chanin Oimer, Noisei. No. The good deeds are the good deeds. The technique in heaven on the Rosh Hashanah to give you the label being a tzaddik is to pick up the averos. To say the averos don't weigh so much. It's fake weight. Okay? Instead of fake news, it's fake weight. The weight is not so heavy. Noisei, magbia kafa maznaim shalov and shenemar. Noisei ovan the oiver al pesha. Okay, so that concludes my mechazal. And once I'm telling you this, Maimon Chazal, I'll tell you a good joke to wake everyone up. Two Gedolei Yisrael walked into the store. They walked into Eichel. Two of the Gedolei Yisrael. Joke. And they saw, and one of the Gedolei Yisrael saw, hanging on the wall for sale, on sale, $99, his picture. Beautiful frame, beautiful picture. So he gives a note, so he gives a elbow to his other chover, Moetzes Gedolei Yisrael, Bianco. see that? You see? On the Moetzes, you see? Remember who's the boss. Remember who's the boss on the Moetzes Gedolei Yisrael. You see my picture? You see? I don't see your picture here. So the other one walks out and says to him, my picture was sold. You never heard that before?
No.
You heard it here.
And it's kosher.
It's a kosher joke.
I thought his picture was on the back of the other
one. On the back of the other one. Ooh, new version of the story. On the back of the other one. Revolving doors, all right.
We'll try to improve.
Okay. Very hard. Kosher jokes are very hard. I wrote jokes for Or Yitzchak, having a dinner. So I wrote a whole bunch of jokes for the journal.
This one is coming up?
Yeah, Sunday. So I don't know if it's going to be in the journal or not, but I wrote the jokes. And then I really, it has to be clean, right? Right? That's the given. I can't insult anyone too much.
Too much.
And I grappled with three jokes. I really did not know if it was right. They were really good jokes. And it really bothered me because I had nothing else. No, I had some other jokes. But I took them out. At the end, I was afraid. I chickened out. I could very easily just said, I leave it to you. Anyway, editors, yeah. Your decision. I didn't even let it get there. I just took it out. I don't want to get involved. So I left with these you know, corny jokes. One joke is, some of us, we went to see Mashas, the whole chevra, after the see Mashas, they went to the American Dream Mall.
That's the new one.
New one. Yeah, it's not real. I went there. I couldn't believe what I saw. Yeah, I also went. I went because the guy who took me lied to me. The guy used to say, I wanted to go home, and he said, okay, we're going right away. And then he decided, no, I want to go, I want to first go to the American Dream, see what's doing over there. Oh, excuse me, I have to get home. I have to give a shiar. I have to get home. It only took a few minutes. I was a hostage. I had to go. So, and I saw there was. I was happy that I went because what I saw there was just unbelievable. It was, you know, American Dream Mall. What? Next door. It's not even next door. It's mamish there. Next door to MetLife, they built the largest mall in America. It is unreal what is in there. There's an indoor water park. Indoor skiing. You never saw something like this your whole life. Indoor skiing. Like you see on the Olympics, going down a mountain, right? It's there. Indoors. In the middle of the summer. It's there with real snow, like a real mountain. Is it possible to create such a thing in this world? Well, they did it. A beautiful ice skating rink. Water park. An amusement park. And just the whole avira, the whole lobby is state-of-the-art, stunning. They don't have the shops yet. The shops yet have not been built. That is, none of them have been built, but it's just Kedai to see the marvel of engineering. It's unbelievable just to see such a, and who's there? The whole place full of Hasidim, full of people from the Sea of Mashas. So my joke was, whoever said that a life of Torah is incompatible with the American dream? Whoever said? We finished Shas and then went to the American dream. Corny joke, right? Okay, corny joke. But the dirty jokes would be, the nasty jokes, I would not be allowed. Okay. All right, let's go. What? Let me think. The ones that I can you wouldn't appreciate, because you have to know the people and the inside story. The people there know the inside story, so they would appreciate. But it's a little bit nasty. So I'll tell it to you, you wouldn't get. Right. Okay, Rabbi. So let's go weiter. Let's finish up over here. Hachazaka. Okay, the Ribbono Shel Olam is called the Yod Hachazaka. Hashem is called Chazaka. What's the past in the beginning? Ata Hachilos Laharis Avdachas Golcha Es Ata Hachilosa Laharis Es Avdacha Es Godlcha Vies Yodcha Hachazaka. What's meant as Hachazaka, this mighty hand? Hachazaka. Sha'ata koivesh berachamim es midas hadin. This same principle. You can't commit this hadin. Shenemar mikel kamoich noisi avon v'oyver al pesha v'oymer yoshuv yirachamenu yichbosh avonesenu titin emes liyako. Okay, that's called the chazaka. It's interesting that we learned in the Malbum yesterday that's what he ties as gevura. Okay, there's a lot of different words or gedoyla. I told you gevura, and the Malbum says this is what it means is. This is what it means, Yodcha HaGedoyla. Gedoyla, greatness. And here in this Maimon Chazal, it calls it Chazaka. So the truth is, all three are really saying the same thing. We have three different Maimon Chazal that use different words, three different words to pretty much describe the same principle. Obviously, it can't be all the same but the three words are being used interchangeably. Chazaka, Gedola and Gevura, and all of them express this idea, the ability to hold back, restraint, exercise restraint, your instincts. A person has a natural gut reaction, instinct to do certain things, to be able to control yourself when your mind is able to overcome your emotion. That's called Gevura. Okay, the emotion of a person is extremely powerful. The mind knows it's not in my best interest. And for your mind to be able to hold yourself back, that's not real. That is superhuman. That is a true, true expression of Yirat Shamayim. Acknowledgement of the Ribbono Shel Olam, and to hold back your natural instincts, your natural taivas. So let's now go to the next page. I think we finished the Maamar Chazal, are we? No, there's one more on the next page. Pasuk Chaf. Tid emes liyakov ches liyavraham dorash rava kol mi sheyesh vay sholosh minis halalu biyedua shehu mizare shal Avraham Avinu rachamon ubayshon v'goymel chasadim d'chsev chesed liyavraham. Okay, so each one, this chazal, you have to look the whole halakhal rabasi, you have to look the whole chazal, I don't have it in front of me, but there obviously it's quoting, it's citing psukim for each one of these midos. By Shonim, Goymel Chasadim, and here it says, Goymel Chasadim, that the nature of a Jew is to be a Goymel Chesed. That is the essence of a Jew, is to do Chesed. Okay, that's why we appreciate America so much, because America is called by the Gedol Yisrael, the Malchus Shel Chesed. Chesed, anytime you find Chesed, that's Medina Shel Chesed. Medina Shel Chesed, and Chesed is a Jewish trait. Okay, now let's take a look over the Chidah. Let's take a look before we do the Marah. We'll also listen to the Chidah. The Chidah, there are a lot of very important things on this. These are very important psukim. We'll just do the Chidah and then we'll stop because we're running out of time. On page 531, Mikel Kamaycha Rabbeinu Harav Rabbi Moshe Kor Do Veroy Zal. Who is this person?
Rabbi Moshe Kor Do Veroy.
The Ramak.
Yeah.
The Ramak. This is the Ramak. Okay, the Ramak. The Ramak lived. When did he live? Sometimes the Chidos. What was what? What did the Ramak? What was? What were his svarim? There's only one thing that I know from the Ramak, which something I heard this. You can never forget this when you hear this chazal, hear this statement. Why is Shir HaShirim is described in with the most intense love? What do we consider to be the most intense love? Man and a woman. So the entire Shir HaShirim is written as a love conversation between a man and a woman, which is nothing other than a mashal, a dugma, a metaphor for the relationship, the love relationship between Hashem and Klal Yisrael. That's what Rashi says. This is one of the big interesting things about Art Scroll. Art Scroll, one of their big dugmos, that when people who ever read articles, when they write about Art Scroll, is Shir HaShirim. They go with Rashi. Shir HaShirim is a very complicated sefer. It's this intense, it's a graphic description of love between a man and a woman. What is the Pshutoi Shel Mikra? We normally have the Pshutoi Shel Mikra, and then we have metaphor. Then we have Drush. Pshutoi Shel Mikra and Drush. So what would you assume in Shir HaShirim, the Pshutoi Shel Mikra, we are describing a man and a woman. And we're describing this story between them. We have to figure out exactly the details of the story. And in graphic terms, we describe the different parts of the body. And we describe different emotions and different psychological elements which increase or decrease love. That is the Pshutoi Shel Mikra, right? Is that what you would say? And then, now we can use this as a springboard to, as a metaphor for the love between man, between Klal Yisrael and Hashem. Along comes Rashi, and what does Rashi say? He says something that's totally shocking. There is no Pashup Shat in Shir HaShirim. Anyone that tells you that the words of Shir HaShirim are starting off between a human being, a man and a woman, that's the pshat, and then from there we will extrapolate to a Hashem and Klal Yisrael, is wrong. Impossible. The simple meaning of the words of Shir HaShirim from the very beginning is between Hashem and Klal Yisrael. You have to appreciate that, what that means. Okay, normally, what do you mean? The whole Tanakh, we have Meshalim. And Rashi himself says, talking about human beings, and this is going to be a dogma for the Ribbono Shel Olam Klal Yisrael. There's an exception. Shir HaShirim. There is no Pashup Shat in Shir HaShirim. Pashup Shat, every single word, don't go through the process of first going through man and then going to Hashem. You start with the Ribbono Shel Olam. Not all of the Rishonim agree with that. Okay, not everyone agrees with that. Rashi is very strong on that. And Art Scroll loved that because Art Scroll wanted to produce a product that shows tradition. To bring out that our tafkid and our products are going to be different than our competitors, is that we're going to be 100% devoted to Mesorah. And who is the Rabban Shel Yisrael? Rashi. Rashi is the Rabban Shel Yisrael. That's Rashi. Some like the Migdal Drush. Right? Reish Shin Yud. Rabban Shel Yisrael. And in order to show, they like to Shir HaShirim is their best example to show that our works are pure. At least we try, make mistakes also, but we try to be pure in coming back to tradition. Mm-hmm. So the Pshutoi, we're going to be loyal to Rashi when we write about Shir HaShirim. The Pshutoi Shel Mikra is Hashem and Klal Yisrael.
So they chose a non-literal translation.
Exactly. Because that's what Rashi says. Because it's exactly Rashi's whole point, Shir HaShirim. Other commentators and other translations that exist today, even that are being produced today by very fine Torah Jews, are not like Rashi. They're like other commentators that are very classic, and they say, it's Adam, man and woman. So what am I getting to the Ramak? The Ramak says that this whole Sefer, Shir HaShirim, was only a Bidi Evet. When Hashem wanted to describe, when Shlomo HaMelech Ruach HaKodesh wanted to describe the love, the most intense love in this world, and use terms, the real goal was to use terms between a Rebbe and a student. The love of a Rebbe and a Talmud is greater than the love of a man and a woman. And Shir, the original plan A, in Maaseh Bereishis, that there would one day be a sefer called Shir HaShirim Asher LiShlomo, Yishokeni Minishikos Piyu, the language that was originally meant to be used to write Shir HaShirim was language that fits between a Rebbe and a student, not a man and a woman. So a man and a woman is plan B. What happened? Mike, the chait Eitz Hadas ruined it. That's what he says, the Ramak. The chait of the Eitz Hadas damaged the love between a Rebbe and a Talmud. So, b'di'eved, the next best thing that we can use to describe the love between Hashem and Klal Yisrael is going to be ish v'ishtoi. The Ramak says that. That blew my mind. I heard that, I couldn't believe what I was reading, such a thing.
Ramak wrote the Tomer Dvora and the Paradis Rimonim,
I think. Tomer Dvora and the Paradis Rimonim. He's a very difficult Sfarim. Tomer Dvora is a Kabbalah Sefer. A very difficult Sfarim. Okay, so that's the Ramak. So that's what I ever hear the Ramak. That's the only thing I think of when I hear the Ramak. Rabbeinu Harav, Rabbi Ramosha, Kor, Doi Veiro, Izal, Herich, Besefer, Tomer Dvora. Right over here, Tomer Dvora. I'm reading the Chalem HaSanach on page 531. 531. Eze gargir midibir harav zal bikitzer b'oid. I'm going to write over here just a kernel, just a granule of his words. Now the truth over here is we're out of time, so it's later we're going to stop because we don't have to. We have to. It's already an hour. We'll stop here. We'll do this next time.